Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Tampa Delphia. Hello, Philadelphia Eagles fans and fellow diehards. This is Paul from Tampa, also known as Tampa Delphia, because of the high concentration of Philly transplants down here that are still loyal, stubbornly loyal, and rock solid behind their Philadelphia teams down here in the land of the palm trees. It is storming to beat the band here in Tampa tonight. If you hear any really loud sounds, that is not artillery. That is thunder. We get some very, very wicked natural events down here in this corner of the country. And it's just the way the science is that makes us the lightning capital of the United States. If you did not know that, you do now. And it's been flashing and the thunder's been rolling. So I sit here in the northwest area of Tampa and have endured a steady, strong, intensive downpour. I don't know if all of it has gone through yet or not, but it may continue. So if you hear it, don't be alarmed. You are here to listen to some points about Philadelphia Eagles. Pardon me. The goal of the show is to give you the microphone. And also to make a few points that may help you think differently about the game, see it in a different way, understand it a bit better, maybe learn something, or at the same time, make me look foolish. I've been known to make a mistake or two, but the week is young, so I'm still on a good streak, right? It is Tuesday night, and it is the 17th of December. You have exactly 1 week to get your fuzzies into a store and pick up some items, some Eagles merch, and some other items that may be important to those you love and share the holidays with. So I encourage you to get yourself in gear. Don't buy what's left on the 23rd like I used to do. That said, let's roll into the game. You'll probably notice that I'm in a chipper mood. And I am on purpose. That is what I'm doing. I am ignoring the negatives, because so many Philadelphia Eagles fans are focused on the negatives. They are walking around whining, moaning, groaning, gloom and dooming, and they're saying, oh, man, you know what? How can you be that way, Paul? Didn't you see the game? You know, Carson Wentz is still fumbling. You know, our defense still is not tackling. And you know what else, Paul? Our game plans are not as good as they could be, and. Yeah, I know. I saw the game. And I've got to tell you, everything you just said, okay, is correct. I choose not to carry that on my shoulders because the NFL, as you know, is not a sports organization. Mm-mm. The NFL is chartered as an entertainment company. You know who else is an entertainment company? Wrestling. So the same way that the wrestling matches are, let's say, influenced, predetermined, or perhaps mapped out, this will happen, and this is likely how or when, the same thing is true. If it's not absolutely true, it sure can be true in football, and that's why we see so many bad calls or no calls or other things. We've talked about this before. So don't get all wound around the axle, because the Eagles still may win, or the Eagles may get parked for another couple of years, depending on what the NFL wants, which is usually what Vegas wants, I think. Personal opinion there. I just want to present to you that, you know, you've got a lot of good things to look forward to. You're only a week out of Christmas. Please don't carry this Eagles team around if you don't let them spoil your holiday. Not worth it, man. You're not going to get that back. The Eagles will always be there. They'll always be the Eagles. You can go back and you can watch replays of the game if you want to feel miserable in January. Please do so. But for yourself, for your own mental health, and for that of your family and friends, please cheer up. Realize it's only a game. Realize that you win some, you lose some. Realize that there are teams you like, teams you don't like, and they got to play each other. And realize also that you always, always, always win a game you should lose and always lose a game you should win. That said, here we are at this point of the season with two regular season games left. Philly is 7-7. Before we get into some things, I just want to share our call-in number with you. And that number is 657-383-1614. And I'll repeat that, 657-383-1614. That's in case my lips were moving too fast. You didn't quite get that. So, 7-7, right? Gosh almighty, how's this going to play out? Who would have ever figured that we'd be a 500 team? A mediocre team, a broken team. Yeah, a broken team. We know we've got some big changes coming up. But we also have, at this point of the season, the most important game of the season again. It was that way in Miami. That was kind of a must win. I called it a trap. I was right. And we got humbled. And we started to celebrate too soon. And then we played the New York Giants. And we beat the Giants. People were clicking their heels and celebrating. They were high-fiving. They were strutting. They were happy. They thought they were back on the groove to get into the playoffs and win it all. Oh, you know, we're going to win our last three or four games. Said I of Eagle scar tissue. You know, you folks know that I volunteer at a hospital here in Tampa. It might be the largest in Tampa. I am right at the center of all the action. They put me right in front, and I get the most activity, well, not of any other area of the hospital. Of course, that would be ridiculous to say. But for the staff of which I am a part, we hump. And I am the most mobile, energetic guy that they've got on that desk, which means on, when was it, Monday? I walked over 10,000 steps, according to my little activity meter, which is over 5 miles in 4 hours. Not bad, right? So it's probably a slow pace if you're in the gym on a treadmill, you know, because in the gym, I like to add an incline and I like to do a little bit brisker speed and all that. But I'll tell you what, this is steady and you try pushing patients in wheelchairs up a ramp, you know, a 20-yard ramp. And some of these people need that first class seat, if you know what I mean. So you get a good workout. It's not as good as the gym, but it's better than not doing the gym. So where was I? Yes, the hospital. People at the hospital have asked me, Paul, where's the tattoo? Do you have a tattoo? No, I don't have a tattoo. And they said, why? I said, simple. The needle keeps bending. That's what you need. That's how you need to think. Thick skin. You need to stop absorbing the pain from the Eagles, noticing every little flaw, every little mistake, every this and every that. You have to stop whining about the coaches' conferences, their planning or their lack of planning, as you know, as it may be. And you got to just relax, take a deep breath, because we're going into really the most important game of the season. We played the Giants, barely got past them. We played the Redskins this past Sunday, and we won. And we won by a good score, 10 points, right? But you wouldn't know it because 7 of the 10 came within the final minute on one of the final plays of the game. It's just the way football is, you know? It's a weird-shaped ball, and it takes odd bounces. And that's what you can't control when the ball is out there rolling around. Everybody's holding their breath on that. So that might be the most exciting play in football is a fumble recovery. We barely beat the Skins. We barely beat the Giants, and we lost to Miami. Three not-so-good teams, which when you look at the big picture, their record is somewhat abysmal. Let me see if I can get it up for you. They had a combined record of 7 wins and 30 losses. I'll repeat that. 7 wins, 3-0 losses. Wow. Wow. And we lost the one and barely squeaked through the other two. Now, we're going to go into a team. We're going to play a team that is fired up and believes that they can win and take the division from us this coming Sunday. And everybody's so wound up because it's them. I don't say their name. God might strike me dead. And that would be the last words to leave my lips. So I avoid saying their name. I avoid them. Period. I do not let them in my house. If they are on TV, I do not have them on screen. I don't care if it's Thanksgiving. I don't care if it's Christmas. I don't care if it's Monday night. It doesn't matter. If it's them, they're not in here. I don't want them polluting my equipment. I don't want their ones and zeros in my house. I don't want the sound or the look of that team entering my body somehow. I just don't like them. I respected the Viet Cong more than I respected those guys, who incidentally had the same symbol as them with the devil's pentacle. Anyway, joking aside, and it was joking, we got a big game coming up. Don't get too worked out. If we win, we win. If we don't, we don't. You know, you're going to try to do all things to interpret, second guess, consider evidence, dig down, look at stats, whatever it is you are going to do. And it might just all be for naught. It may come down to one field goal, you know. It may come down to one fumble recovery. It may come down to somebody not doing something they typically do. You probably don't know the statistic, but Carson Wentz has 14 fumbles on the season. He's fumbled an average of once every game. Hey, Carson, do you think that you could not do that this weekend? Maybe you can hold that one back. And we've had some guys consistently drop a ball, even if it hits them between the numbers. They just have that one drop per game. I don't know what it is. There's a lot of reasons why they drop it, and there are some good reasons why they drop it. But maybe not this week, guys. And let's talk about my issue, tackling. I don't know why we cannot stop guys. Either we are too small, or we are too light, or we are too weak, or we are too slow. One of the secrets and keys to a good defense is called pursuit. When the play goes past you, you must pursue. And when the wideout goes past you, you must pursue. Therefore, when the quarterback breaks the pocket, you must pursue. You're not getting a lot of sacks, right? I don't know if our pursuit is bad or if the other areas that I mentioned before about, size, speed, maybe those factors are coming into play here, but we're not tackling. We're not bringing them down. And we got a monster running back, a freak of nature, from the Neanderthal dinosaur Paleolithic, pre-Jurassic era that is going to be on our field, soiling it up. And he's going to be a bundle to take down. I mean, the guy's a load. That said, they have other good players, and I'm sure the ball's going to be spread around. They've got, who do they have? What's his name? Enrique Cooper. And then they've got some other guys in there that are pretty good too. What's his name? Wet Up? Something like that. I think he's a tight end. Anyway, don't look at all of that and get intimidated. You're not going out there. It's not you. You're home. You're safe. You're clean. You're fed. You got a beer or whatever. And all you got to do is cheer. and spout wisdom for the next 3 hours. Okay? Have fun. Enjoy it. That's what it's for, really. Don't get all wound up around the axle with this game. Philly has some interesting weapons. Philly has had some excellent game plans. Our coaches are not all that bad. They're new. Some of them are new, and they're in the learning curve. But for the most part, we're not that bad off. We are playing twos and threes, and the talent level from a second or third roster spot player is not as good as the talent of a starter. Duh. We've got a lot of guys out from injury because they're old. They creak. They get hurt fast and heal slow. We got that. That's one of the changes for the offseason. However, for this coming Sunday, we must play like the devil's ready to bite us in the ass. Oops, did I say that? Excuse me, blog talk. There's the demon's going to take a chomp out of our behind if we don't play like we've got dogs chasing us. We got to have heart. We've got to have intensity. We've got to have passion. We got to have fire. We've got to have what every man wants. That is a goddamn insane, foaming, totally out of control football player ready to pound, beat, and defeat another football player. Football is a game of the heart. You put the other guy's ass in the dirt. Now, have you ever seen the Doug Peterson press conference? Yeah, hey, how are you doing? Yeah, well, we tried to do that, and Doug's a nice guy, great guy. Can he inspire? Can he motivate? Can he get these guys so totally psyched up they're going to turn into Manchurian candidates and do whatever he says? Better yet, I'll tell you one better. Have you ever heard Jim Schwartz? I mean, Jim is, I don't know Jim. I don't know his skill level, his talent, nor his experience. But Jim Schwartz is a low-key guy with a soft voice. And even when he yells, he may not sound like he's yelling. And it's his defensive guys that have to win this game. Because it's the defensive guys that had the most holes last weekend, this past Sunday, when they played the Skins. Because of either a lack of preparation or a lack of intensity or a lack of size or a lack of speed or a lack of talent and no tackles. So, and no pursuit. I'm saying no, but I mean questionable or a little bit. You qualified that the way you want. We've got a big game, yes. And we're also 15 minutes through our first segment. We're done with our first segment. If you're coming to Tampa Delphia, the game will be held. It will be available to be seen at Mugs in Clearwater. Mugs is in the Icott Business Park. Let's make it simpler for you. Ulmerton Road is a huge main artery that runs east to west from the Gulf to the Bay. And Ulmerton is an exit off of 275. So if you're coming from Tampa, exit in Ulmerton, stay on a straight line until you get to 58th Street. That's 58. Make a right, go in, and there's a little tiny street immediately on your left. Take the left, and that's Mugs in front of you. If you're coming from the west, go out Ulmerton. When you get to the light of 58, take a left. Go in immediately on your right. There's a little street. It's the same street, just the opposite end. Make the right-hand turn, and guess what's right in front of you? Mugs. Park anywhere. Come in, relax, enjoy, cheer with us. Food and drink specials, great wait staff. I mean, no kidding. The service is phenomenal. The food is excellent. You can't get a bad product there. And the drinks are reasonable and they're good. So I invite you to come and cheer with us this Sunday. Late afternoon, it's 4 o'clock game, which means you'll get home a little after normal dinner time, but you have plenty of time to conclude your day and do what you like to do at night, whether it's a quick rinse or whether it's a shower and shave or maybe something to eat or whatever way you play it, you still have time. The second location that we have is in Brandon at the Brandon Mall. Yes, when you go into the Brandon Mall off of Route 60, which is Kennedy, which is Adamo Drive, take the main entrance past the bookstore. You're coming in, the bookstore's on your right. Take the first left-hand turn that brings you close to the body of the mall. And then you'll see JCPenney right there in front of you. On the other side of JCPenney is Mugs and Jugs. Park anywhere. Find a spot. Good luck this time of year because the malls are going to be insane with shoppers. But I invite you to come to Mugs and Jugs. In Mugs, we have a private room. All the TVs are Eagles unless by request. All tables and chairs are Eagles fans. Typically, we will have someone who is not an Eagles fan, but that is a spouse or a family member or a friend, and that's understandable. They're not there for any reason other than they will have something to eat and drink because the family and watch the game, so that's cool. Mugs and Jugs has our own private Eagles area. The screens are all set to Eagles. We have everything else we need, plus 10% off your order. So come cheer, relax, enjoy. Get out of the flow, hide from the world, forget about the shopping I just told you to do, and cheer the Eagles. I mean, you do have priorities, right? And the birds are one of the priorities, I think. So that's Tampa Delphia, family-oriented, very, very kid-friendly. It doesn't matter whether it's a young family with babies or whether it is an older family with kids in college or high school. Bring them. Come on. Relax with us. Dads, teach your kids the game. Teach them how to be Eagles fans. And your daughters, too. So, I'm Paul. I'll be at one of those locations this weekend. And I invite you to join me and us. We have a lot of good folks there. All right, back to what we're talking about with the Fluffia Eagles. We've got a few gaps that we've got to work on and correct. That much is covered. When you listen to the coach's press conference, which I do not typically do, they usually do not give you a whole lot of specific detail, a lot of information that will be of any assistance to you the coming week. I don't have any friends on the team. I have no inside information. I simply watch the game, and I read a few articles here and there from some people that I followed for the past 20 years, but for the most part, I do not suck it all up. I'm not reading the Philadelphia Inquirer every day. I'm not doing WIP 24/7, and I'm not doing other things that you guys might be doing who are within the sound of my voice. I prefer to do my own thinking and apply what I've learned over the years about this game of football. I can tell you a couple things right now. One, Carson Wentz is not a problem. Carson Wentz is a solution and a long-term one at that. He's dedicated. He's trying hard. You know, the guy has got a pair. He's got a backbone. He is standing up tall as he can to try and win the game and make something happen. Kudos to Carson Wentz, but you got to stop the fumbling, Carson. Second, I want to really acknowledge Miles Sanders. This guy can play. He's a gamer. He's a running back. He's a receiver. Miles Sanders is setting records, not only for the Philadelphia Eagles team, but also for the NFL. Miles Sanders is a burst of fresh air, maybe one of the few breaths of fresh air we have this season. How's that? Another one, Greg Ward. He's been with us for years, but you wouldn't know it because coaches being the type of people that they are, we're not going to play him. We're going to keep him smothered in the back of the pack unless we absolutely have to use him. They did. He's out and he's performing and he's getting a lot of attention. So Greg Ward, I'm glad you're with us. I'm glad that things are coming your way. Greg Ward adds another value to our Eagles team, whether you know this or not. He used to be a college quarterback. Uh-huh. He was the guy, he was the Carson Wentz of his college team. University of Houston, no shabby little school. He switched positions, and it's made him a better slot receiver. The guy understands routes and timing, and he's in the right place at the right time. He's got a pair of hands, and I'm delighted that we have him. I'm delighted that somebody said, let's keep this guy. Another good guy we have, tight end Perkins. Eager to play, looking for an opportunity. I'm delighted that he's still with us because I think we got some sticks that are stuck in the mud on our team. I'm not saying they're not playing with heart and fire. I'm saying that these guys have got a certain energy and it's breaking through. So I'm delighted for that. And, well, we might as well continue this situation for the Philadelphia analysis. Miles Sanders, he finished with 172 yards, 122 of that on the ground. So he was being caught for 50. Carson Wentz was 30 for 43 for 266 yards, 3 TDs, no interceptions. His passer rating went up to 109.3. Good for you. So he did good, but he still has that fumble. And Ward was making, he was 7 for 61. Pretty good, right? Not quite 10 yards a catch, but he's getting some air time, so to speak. And Ertz, Mr. Consistent, he did good. And did you see that one-handed grab from Dallas Goedert? If not, go to YouTube with the NFL replay of the Eagles game. And I think it's a 9 or 12-minute clip. Somewhere in there, you'll see Dallas Goedert make his one-handed grab. It's worth a look, believe me. The issue is the offense came through this week and performed, right? The defense was losing the game for us. Who puts the game away but Brandon Graham, a defender on our defensive side of the ball? He scoops up the ball and runs it in for a touchdown. That's how we ended up with 10 points at the end. So the defense was hurting us, but then they made up for it at the end. But he, Brandon Graham is a good player anyway, and he was one of those guys that was labeled a tweener. They weren't quite sure what they were going to do with him, but okay. And our last guy that was supposed to be a good play, we have a number of them that were highly regarded, like Sidney Jones, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. He ended up with goose egg, zippity doo-dah. And Sidney Jones, did he even play? I'll have to check the stats in our next segment and just go over that real quick and see how we did. I invite your call. If there's anything you want to say, a point you want to make, something you think is new, call me. Call us. I have listeners. There are some of you out there. God bless you all. 657-383-1614. And we are wrapping up our second segment. See how fast time goes? I'm telling you. But I'm just going to plow through this. I don't need to say anything yet. The defense. Where we begin with the defense, where it always begins, coaching. I think that the coaches have really, really got to grow a pair of angry cojones and just start screaming, shouting, beating, hitting, and ripping so that the players get the message that they can't go out there unless they're booming at the mouth. That's, I think, what we need to do. We keep giving up too many big plays. We don't tackle. It's not that we're out of position. There's a different reason. Maybe we're too short. Maybe we're too slow. Maybe our reaction time is, our reflexes are not that good. We've got some older players, man. You know, they're smart, but they're not going to play dodgeball in the street in Philly like we did when we were kids anymore because they ain't moving that fast. So cut them some slack, but at the same time, again, it's a game. Don't get wired up about this thing. It's not worth it. Maddox, he missed a tackle. And Terry McLaurin ran 75 yards. It was only the first quarter. Well, I sure hope I don't see anything like that this first quarter, because we're not going to be playing the Washington Redskins. We're going to be playing a team that is a click better, not much, right? But we still have to win. And if they're out there spewing that they can beat us a number of ways, well, bring it on. I think we've got the right stuff. We need the right mindset, which comes from where? The coaches. So tape them up good, trainers. When these guys go out there, tape them up good, because they're not coming out, you know? We really didn't get much pressure on the quarterback either in Washington, did we? No, we didn't. Haskins, who's Haskins? I thought it was Haskins Robbins. I thought he was an ice cream guy. Haskins is a rookie. He was sacked 26 times this year on 186 snaps, which is an awful lot of getting caught. So his line wasn't too good. Except when they played us. How'd that work out? Really, the Eagles got stumped on sacks. I think they got to Haskins once. But the defensive line is supposed to be a strength of this team. The pass rush. Our pass rush was supposed to be a strength of this team. What happened? Malik Jackson went down. Well, hey, how about the other guys? Well, Barnett's hurt. Okay. Fletcher's kind of on and off. Well, okay. But how do you not even get close to a guy who's getting sacked every time, every once out of seven times he drops back? How do you not get to this guy? Starts up front. Get that defensive line coach, make him sleep at the stadium. I kid you not. Do you remember Buddy Ryan? Yeah, you probably do if you're as old as me. But I'll tell you what else. If you're not as old as me, we had a coach named Buddy Ryan, who's the defensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears, who were the team to beat. They were the Mike Tyson of the NFL. Invincible. And they won it all. And Buddy Ryan was the star. He was the star. The defensive coach, the defensive coordinator, was more popular than the head coach. So what happens? The Eagles get him. They get Buddy Ryan as their head coach. And immediately, Buddy Ryan, being a former first sergeant, I'm talking about sergeant major. I'm talking about the command guy who runs the entire, not platoon, but the entire company. He's the top gun, right? Buddy Ryan was at that level, and he had to motivate men of all kinds. And Buddy was a master of the mind control. Buddy would say things, and guys would jump through flaming hoops for him. And he was good. He was only with us about 5 years. Damn it, man. The owner got in his way. The owner didn't like the guy he hired. Because Buddy used to make fun of him. Buddy had some classic lines. But Buddy valued the defense more than the offense. He never really put that kind of work and effort into the offense. And Buddy he wanted the meanest sons of bitches he could get on that defensive line. And he had them. He had Jerome Brown, right? And Clyde Simmons, Reggie White, no slouch. Mike Pitts. I mean, the guys he had were good, but they were well coached. They knew each other's moves, and they played together. They played very, very well. They knew each other's timings, and they understood, as they studied film and were brought up to speed by the trainers and assistant coaches, how they were going to play their opponents that game. I'm not so sure that we're doing that, and I'd like to see us bring that back. I'd like to see us bring back that group think, that group analysis, group rehearsal, group practice, so that we actually have Eagles going against Eagles with one set of Eagles impersonating the opponent, doing what those guys do with their styles and techniques, so our guys can get down their rhythm, their pattern, their everything that they're going to do on Sunday. You know, you got to know what you're up against. So film is only good, but if you don't do it physically, doesn't matter. That's why the military is very big on simulating. Go out there and act like you're doing it. You think it's crazy? It's not. It's absolutely not. Yeah, your body remembers, and your body just falls back on what was practiced. So the defense has got to come up big. We've got to do a little bit better, and we've got to get the spirit of Buddy back on defense, I think. We are giving up way too many touchdowns, and we're giving up way too many points. We're not holding them. We're not holding them. They're getting field goals, and they're getting big plays on us. And it's starting because it's once they get past the line, if our line doesn't beat their line, they've got a pretty good chance of getting past us for downs or scores. And that's just the way it is, man. So let's hope that the key to this game is the performance of our defensive line. That's what Paul is saying here in Tampa, Delphi. It's something for you to think about. All right, we're in the final 10 minutes. We haven't looked at stats yet, but there's some things here that may be of interest that I would like to share with you. I am at a website which is called profootballreference.com. And the first thing I want to look at is the injury report. It was updated December 12th. Wow. It had week 15 injury report, but something's not right because it's got the game coming up, but information that's 5 days old. How's that possible? Anyway, Nelson Agholor is not practicing because of a knee. Barnett is not practicing because of an ankle. Kamu Grigor-Hill, concussion. He's in the protocol, says Doug. He's practicing. He's doing full practices. Jordan Howard is limited in practice because of his shoulder. How does a stinger go for one for 5 weeks? Alshon Jeffrey is, I mean, he's not practicing. He's out. Lane Johnson did not practice because of his ankle. He's got the high ankle sprain. And Jalen Mills is limited because of his elbow. So aside from that, we only have 10, if you count Jeffrey, 10 guys on the injured reserve, which is what's 10 guys on a 53-man roster? Oh, could that possibly be 20%? Yeah, 20% of our team is off the field. So something for us to consider, right? The big thing is this. Carson Wentz has nudged his numbers just a little bit. He's completed only 63.4% of his passes, which is a little bit better than all of the opponents we've faced. If you look at their stats and take a look at them individually and average them out, his average completion is 6.5 yards, which is up from 6.2. So that's good to know. For rushing and receiving, Miles Sanders is the man to beat. He's been a target 52 times and received 42 of them. Huh? Yeah. He's received 42 out of 52 passes. Not bad, right? And his longest was 45 yards. So he's got 3 TDs. And right behind him is the mysterious Jordan Howard. And then we've got a lot of other names on guys that are not on the field. Whatever happened to Jay Ajayi? We did get him, didn't we? Greg Ward. Greg Ward has been only in 5 games. And he's been a target 28 times and caught 18 of them. So you might as well say he's 20 out of 30, which is 66%. So we're going to be right around that number. And he's averaging 7.8 yards a catch. Our best receiver for the longest ball was Jeffrey. Behind Jeffrey is Zach, tight end, and Miles Sanders. So those two guys, as rightfully so, they're at the top of the totem pole on our offense. For punt returns and kick returns, guess who is in the lead? If you said Miles Sanders, you'd be right. And
he's followed by Boston Scott. So those two guys seem to be shoring up that position. Corey Clement is still on there, and I'm not quite sure what's going to happen with Corey. If he goes, that's a shame that that young guy has been shortchanged out of a good career. Okay, we know we got a good punter and a good kicker. For our defense, the one with the most tackles is Rodney McLeod, followed by Jenkins. And let's talk about sacks. Who has the most sacks? Who would you guess? Would you guess Brandon Graham? You'd be right. And behind him, Derek Barnett, who was kind of injured. So, Derek, come on, rock up, dude. Get out there. And then Vinnie Curry. Vinnie Curry.
Doing a quite efficient job. Some of those linemen you don't hear about because they're occupying multiple blockers. And also, they are closing the lane. They are forcing a play. They are doing something that is not camera worthy. Okay. They're out there and they're helping the team win doing what they do. So don't be too mean because they're not glamour boys in the interviews and on camera during the game. So here's something. Sidney Jones, 10 games, no sacks, 17 tackles, and he's a cornerback. Cornerbacks are typically the unit where that have the most tackles. How is it that another cornerback by the name of Ronald Darby have 36, which is twice the production of Sidney Jones? And Avante Maddox is a cornerback, and he's also at 36. My point is, it depends on how you're playing the position, right? Sydney, you were such a hero in college, right? Josh Sweat, S-W-E-A-T, he's a draft pick. It doesn't say where he plays. Maybe they move him around. He's been in 14 games. He's been in every game. 3 sacks. 17 combined tackles. So Josh has quietly been performing for a new guy. Pretty cool, right? Pretty cool. Anyway, on defense, we've got some other names that you're going to – Orlando Scandrick gone, Hassan Ridgeway, I think he's out. Akeem Spence, we got him, and I haven't seen him or heard about him since. Craig James, I think he was on camera one time. Duke Riley, who? Anthony Rush, who? But he's been in 7 games. Craig James has been in 12 games. Craig James is a cornerback. Anthony Rush, no designation. So – this Eagles team is truly, if you want to dig deep and find stuff out, you can. That's about it. We're in the final 2 minutes. I just wanted to say that going into this Sunday, please don't expect a lot. Just shrug it off. Keep your mind cool. Enjoy the company of the people that you're with. Enjoy the sport for what it is. Enjoy the plays for the player. And have fun. Have a good time. If we walk out the door at the end of the night on Sunday and we're kind of like, shrug it off, man. Okay, carry it, feel it for an hour or two, but the sun will be in the sky tomorrow morning. So with that, I want to thank you for being part of Tampa Delphia. I want to thank you for your loyalty and friendship. I'm proud to know you. We had a wonderful giveaway this past weekend. Absolutely wonderful, and we're going to have another wonderful giveaway final 2 weekends as I unload my treasure trove for this year. With that, I wish you well. I hope you have a good rest of the week, and I will see you Sunday somewhere. So Tampa Delphia Eagles on Facebook has a lot of the information you may need to keep up with. So once again, thanks again. This is Paul, and I'm going to be winding down and saying goodnight. Go Eagles.